Well, tonight we remember and celebrate the birth of our Savior. As Christians, we want to be reminded of Jesus' birth during the Christmas season. This is a very good thing, right? And as a pastor, it can be easy, or it even can be very difficult, to try to come up with the messages to come up to preach during Advent. Most people have their expectations for these services. You know, stick with Matthew 1 or Matthew 2, Luke 1 and Luke 2. Give us the stories of Jesus' birth so that we can remember the true meaning of Christmas, and then let us sing some Christmas songs. Honestly, I think most pastors could preach the same few sermons each year and everyone would be happy. But I believe this is too simplistic. Our lives are not so simple. Our lives are messy. We face trials. We have questions. We battle against spiritual foes. We fight against our own sins. And so I believe it's good for us to consider a wide range of topics when it comes to Jesus' humiliation, his coming to the earth. Now, as I thought about what I should preach for this year's Advent services, one word came to my mind, and that is the word hope. Our world is a mess, and I want us to remember that we still have hope. Most people may hope that their circumstances would improve, but our true hope has already been accomplished. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And my previous four sermons included Old Testament prophecies that pointed to the Messiah, who would bring salvation for God's people. These prophecies were given in the midst of great hardship, when the Hebrews faced captivity. They faced defeat by their foreign enemies. And yet this hardship was due to their unfaithfulness to God. The Lord would raise up enemies to judge them. And yet sometimes the enemy that is most damaging to our well-being is ourselves. Our own wicked hearts are led astray by temptations. We choose sin over God. We desire the very sins that bring us pain. We love what is wrong. Merry Christmas, everyone. But in today's sermon, I want us to look to a passage that reveals that we still have hope. We have one true hope in this sin-filled world. That is the light which comes to the darkness. I'll be reading today from John chapter 1, the opening verses of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, so that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is God's holy word. One of the saddest statements in Scripture is found here in verses 10 and 11. Jesus made this world, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, but his people did not receive him. The rejection of Jesus Christ is seen throughout all four Gospels. Right away, Herod wanted him destroyed. During his ministry, the scribes and Pharisees sought to have Jesus arrested or even killed because of their jealousy. The Romans were generally indifferent about Jesus, but ultimately they accepted the task of carrying out his execution. We even see that most of the common Jews, those who seemed interested in Jesus for a while, eventually left him. John says that when Jesus' teachings became too hard to accept, they turned back and no longer walked with him. We see here Jesus, the only perfect person to ever walk this earth, came to a corrupt and sinful world as a light shining in a dark place. Now surely the people would rejoice to have this light come to them, right? But what does John tell us later? In John 3, he says, "Men loved the darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." This reminds us that most people choose their own ways of wickedness, and they hate those who point out their sins. Is it any wonder that this world, for the most part, rejected Jesus? Now, before we go pointing a condemning finger at those who rejected Jesus after witnessing all he had done, we should examine ourselves. Ask yourself, am I any better? Now, if we're honest, we can all admit that we have sinned greatly against our God. Our sins put Jesus on the cross as well. Yet there is still hope for us. Now, maybe you've been searching for hope in the wrong places, seeking a worldly solution to your problems. Perhaps you think that the right job, the right spouse, the right medical cure, the right president will make everything better. But we know that all of these things will let us down. Nothing in this world is perfect. Or maybe you've been deceiving yourself, thinking that you're a Christian, but realistically desiring your idols, your worldly treasures, more than you desire God. You love the creation more than the Creator. But there's still hope for you. There's even hope for your selfish pastor. This passage from John 1 reveals at least three things that give us hope. Number one, Jesus is God. Number two, God relates with us and communicates with his people. And number three, we can have salvation. We can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now first, Jesus is God. You see, if our hope is simply in a man, in a human person, even the best person, the most upright person, then our hope is still limited. All men and women are imperfect. They are limited in what they can give us. But Jesus was more than a man, even a man who lived a life of total obedience, who was willing to suffer and die for us. You see, Jesus is God. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, who is this Word? Well, John says, "He is the one who came in the flesh, who dwelt among them, whom John saw and walked with, whom John the Baptist referred to in saying, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.'" So this clearly refers to Jesus. The Word, Jesus, is God. Not just a God, but the God, the one true God of the universe. He was there before the creation of the world, who in fact created the world. John says all things were made through him. Jesus didn't simply come into being when he was conceived in Mary's womb. Unlike the angels, Jesus was not created by God. He is God. John says in him was life. He has life in himself and of himself. He is self-sustaining, always having existed, never needing anything apart from what he supplies. Now, yes, he came in human form. He took on flesh. But at the same time, he did not give up his deity. Although his form was that of a man, he remained God throughout all his years on earth. Now, this can be a mystery to us, how Jesus could be both God and man at the same time. But Scripture affirms it, and we should believe it. Jesus has always existed. He has no beginning or no end. He simply is. As he told those who didn't believe in him, "Before Abraham was, I am." Again, if Jesus was only a man, then our hope in him would be limited. But we can fully trust in Him. As God, Jesus gives us real hope. A hope that remains forever, just as He remains forever. Now to our second reason for hope. God relates with us and communicates with His people. Some religions, such as Hinduism and other forms of Eastern mysticism, believe in an all-present, ultimate source of life and being that controls the universe. And we would agree with this, but their ultimate reality, which they call Brahman, is simply an impersonal force. It's not a living being. Their hope is that they would enter this state of unconsciousness, of oneness with the universe. Now, they may think that this is perfection, to lose yourself into the collective universe, but then there is no more you. They teach in the end, we are left without any personal relationships. We're just part of this abstract reality of nothingness. On the other hand, we have hope in a personal God, a God who relates with His people. And here we even see in the beginning there was an interpersonal relationship within the Trinity. John shows us this relationship between Father and Son. The Word was with God in the beginning. This unique Son, who is now at the Father's side, was sent from the Father to earth. Jesus came into this world to His own people for their good, to those who are made in His image. John affirms that he had witnessed Jesus, that Jesus was a real person that he saw, that he spoke with, that he was able to touch, as he tells us in 1 John 1:1. But John not only tells us that Jesus dwelt among His people, He actually cared for them. He cared enough to bring light into darkness and to reveal God's truth to them. You see, God spoke in the beginning to create the universe. He spoke to His people through the mouths of His prophets. And God spoke through the person of Jesus, who is aptly called the Word. When Jesus speaks, it is God speaking. So how do we know God's will? Well, we listen to His voice. How do we hear Him speak? Well, we pay attention to His Word, the Word meaning the Bible, and the Word meaning Christ. Jesus, God, desired a relationship with His people from the very beginning. And He loves us enough to communicate His love and His desires to us. Now, God has spoken to us. The question is, are you listening to Him? Here's the third reason for hope that we find in this passage. We can have eternal life. We can have salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus did more than just bring us wisdom and truth when He dwelt on the earth. He provided a way of salvation. The true light that came into this world is Jesus. This is the light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not, indeed it cannot, overcome the light. Jesus conquered the darkness of sin. When Jesus willingly allowed Himself to be nailed to the cross, the full wrath of God was placed on Him. Now, why did this happen? Did He deserve that punishment? No, He didn't. But you see, our sins are so terrible that the only way that we can have our guilt removed is that justice needed to be served. We have sinned against our Lord and Creator, and we deserve eternal death. We deserve hell. Yet Jesus stepped forward to take this punishment for us. He suffered an agonizing death because we have sinned against our God. But death could not destroy Him. The grave could not keep Him. Jesus was raised to new life and is now at the Father's right hand. Paul says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Jesus removed the sting of death. So is that it? Is every person forgiven, guaranteed eternal life? No. We must completely trust in Jesus as our Savior. We are to believe in Him. Now, this belief is more than just mental acceptance of who he is. The gift of salvation is given to those who come to Jesus by faith. Some will receive the gift of eternal life, and yet some will not. Listen to John 3:18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. John 10 says that we can have abundant life by coming to Jesus. That is, by turning to him, which is our repentance, our trusting in him, and that is our faith. Those who merely view Jesus as a good and moral teacher have missed who he really is. He is our Savior. We need to come humbly before Jesus, admit our need for him. We cannot simply hear about Jesus, enjoy these great stories of him, and then turn back to living for ourselves. He is our light and our salvation. Only Jesus grants eternal life. Now, I want to be clear about this salvation. The gospel message is not that we need to go to great lengths to obtain or to keep the gift of eternal life. We are not saved by our works. We are saved through faith in what Christ has done, in his sacrificial life and death. Those of us who trust in Jesus are brought into God's family. This is the promise for all who rely on Jesus for salvation. John says we are called children of God. Our responsibility is that we are to believe. We completely trust in him. We submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus. Now, this is not done by our own determination, by human efforts, but by God working in us. We must be born again, born from above. God graciously brings us this new life, this spiritual rebirth. As John says, the children of God are not born of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is God's gift to us. We cannot earn this salvation. Again, eternal life is a gift from God. We find hope in the eternal salvation that God gives to his children. And this is better than any gift you will find under the tree. Now, the great thing about this gift is that we can give it to others and still keep it ourselves. This is a gift that is meant to spread to our neighbors and to spread around the world. In this passage, we see a good example of faithfulness in John the Baptist. John came to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. You see, John desired that others would find eternal life in Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John's ministry found its ultimate purpose in pointing people to Christ. You see, John did not seek fame and glory, but in his humility, he realized that his own ministry needed to decrease so that the ministry of Jesus would increase. Christ would receive the glory. Too many people in our day want to make much of themselves and flaunt what they have done. But as Christians, we should desire to glorify God above ourselves. We do not preach our own wisdom. We do not preach how we should overcome our problems or how to live good, happy lives. But we preach Christ. Peter says, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Our salvation is found in Christ alone. So let us make the gospel message known to others, that they may have this hope. As Jesus told his disciples, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, if you have seen this great light, then do not hide it from others. Jesus is the true light who gives hope to a dark world. He provides what this world desperately needs. So let us go forth from here. Make him known. We are to trust him, to follow him, to reveal him to the world. Jesus Christ alone gives us the hope that will last forever. Do you have this hope? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you have given us the hope of eternal life, which comes by faith through your Son. God, help us to seek you, to know you, not just know about you, but to actually know you as our Savior, as our Lord, as the one who gives eternal life, brings us into your family. God, I pray that many here believe in you. And if they don't know you yet, that they would learn to trust in you, turn to you this day, acknowledge their desperate need. None of us deserve eternal life, but God, this is a gift which comes from you. And we are so thankful that we don't have to go to great lengths to prove ourselves before you, but we simply trust. Help us to have hearts that are willing to look to you, to look to Christ, the light of this world. Amen.